This is Nancy Pippin with the Pantograph for Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. We begin today's reading with a story out of Bloomington about an architect pitches hotel development downtown. And this is what we find. Twin City architect and developer Jim Pearson believes the city's top priority for revitalizing its center is a new downtown conference center and a hotel. Pearson, as president of the Vantage Group Limited, pitched the idea during the public comments portion of the City Council's meeting on Monday night. The best number one project solution today is to finish the arena project the way it should have been done 11 years ago to succeed, said Pearson, referring to the city-owned arena formerly known as the U.S. Cellular Coliseum, now called the Grossinger Motors Arena. He spoke before aldermen butted heads over the downtown task force's proposed catalyst project to replace the deteriorating 43-year-old Market Street parking deck with a structure housing the Bloomington Public Library, a Connect Transit bus transfer station, and public parking. It was the centerpiece of a report the task force approved October 24th. The aldermen voted 5-4 Monday night to cancel a January 16th working session at which it was intended for the council to meet jointly with the boards of the library and Connect Transit about the Catalyst project. The joint meeting will happen anyway because Mayor Tari Renner on Tuesday called a special meeting to begin at 5:30 p.m. January 16th in the Osborne Room at the Bloomington Police Department. Renner told the Pantograph Tuesday that any hotel conference center project would have to pay for itself and that the city has no money to invest up front. As far as economic incentives, the city might provide to help with development. I can't speculate on that at all because all I have is what we heard Monday night, said the mayor. The staff will have to vet this, and when we know what we're dealing with, we can have a much more thorough conversation, said Renner. We have to have clear assurances. We are not going to take just any project downtown. We've made that clear because we've turned some down. Details will be coming soon, said Pearson. The Vantage Group will put together the team to design, build a new conference center with an adjoining. This center would have an adjoining 110-room hotel connected to the arena. Also proposed the development involving a public-private partnership for the city-owned Butler parking lot at the northwest corner of Front and Madison Streets. He did not provide an estimated cost for the project. Within 10 to 14 days, TVG will submit to interim city manager Steve Rasmussen a detailed scope and draft outline. How TVG will accomplish this, said Pearson. Basically, TVG will issue a national request for proposals, or an RFP, to recruit and secure interested parties with experience in hotel operations and conference center successes, he added. The RFP will ask for construction estimates, local general contractors, capital lenders, and investors. East Peoria commercial real estate broker Jeff Gelbenhausen has been unsuccessful in getting city participation in developing a hotel and conference center using three buildings owned by the Merrill Huff family back near the arena. The city backed out of participating in 2016 after vetting by a consultant determined the $52.7 million proposal carried too many risks. Pearson could not be reached Tuesday for comment, but in a memo Pearson sent to Rasmussen last week, he outlined what he sees as the five priorities for revitalizing the downtown. The list is topped by TVG's Hotel Conference Center project, another TVG project, shops and apartments, at what he called the Pullman Yards District on the east side of downtown. Pearson outlined on an aerial photo the district being as between Washington and Jefferson Streets and encompassing Gridley and Prairie Streets. The list also includes an aviary, Arboretum Square. He proposes the city develop as part of a 9-square-block downtown park and connect transit transfer station and a center for social agencies. Atrium, both located near the McLean County Law and Justice Center. Pearson's prior development experience includes the construction of the Bloomington Police Department building and a parking structure in 1995, a $7.6 million project that involved a public-private partnership with the city. Pearson served two terms on the McLean County Regional Planning Committee, Commission from 1997 to 2003, and is in his sixth year of the Bloomington Planning Commission. He also ran unsuccessfully for the Bloomington City Council and McLean County Boards. Our next article is entitled, Rodriguez Embraces Respect. New Director of Health Department began role on January 3rd. Respect and curiosity open doors. Camille Rodriguez said she learned respect as a child, and her respect and curiosity served her well as a child protection investigator and in a variety of health human service roles for more than 20 years in Illinois and Wisconsin. Rodriguez has brought her approach to McLean County, where she began January 3rd as director of the McLean County Health Department. Rodriguez, 47, who was selected by the County Board of Health on December 13th, is relocating from McKenzie Park. She takes over a diverse department with 86 employees, an operating budget of $9 million, and responsibilities that include restaurant inspection, communicable disease control, and immunization, and WIC, Women, Infants, and Children's Nutrition, Education, and Supplemental Food Program. Everything is public health, Rodriguez told the Pantograph on Tuesday. You can't have a discussion about our health department role without knowing about our economy, access to health care, housing, and behavioral health. They tie together and shape how a community responds. Her focus on collaboration is rooted in her upbringing in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the first person in her family to attend college. She found that her study of anthropology was important. I enjoyed examining why we all do certain things and why we have certain traditions, she said, adding she enjoys listening to people's stories and asking why. Her respect, curiosity, and listening skills helped when she was a child protection investigator with the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, serving mostly in Champaign County. She said responding to allegations of child abuse and neglect, she recognized her focus was protecting the safety of children, but also listening to families rather than coming in with preconceived notions. Being respectful allowed me to be non-judgmental and got me in a door every time, she recalled. My priorities were to see the family, to protect the child, and to find out why the allegation existed. But all that began with a conversation. After several years in that role, Rodriguez had other jobs, including investigating allegations of state employee misconduct and analyzing policy for a state association serving children with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Then she went to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, working her way up to director of the Bureau of Community Health Promotion, overseeing WIC, maternal and child health, chronic diseases, and cancer control programs. Rodriguez enjoyed her job, but at that state, I was a little removed from the community. I am very excited about listening to what the community feels it needs from the McLean County Health Department, she said. Rodriguez replaced Kathy Coverston Anderson, who had been interim director since the former director, Walt Howe, retired last February. Coverston Anderson remains Health Department Assistant Administrator and Director of the Division of the Community Health Services. Next, we bring up the article, Trump Pushes Plan for Dreamers. Searching for a bipartisan deal to avoid a government shutdown, President Donald Trump suggested Tuesday that an immigration agreement could be reached in two phases. First, by addressing young immigrants and border security with what he called a bill of love. Then, by making comprehensive changes that have long eluded Congress. Trump presided over a lengthy meeting with Republican and Democratic lawmakers seeking a solution for hundreds of thousands of young people who were brought to the U.S. as children and living here illegally. Trump last year ended the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which shielded more than 700,000 people from deportation and gave them the right to work legally. He gave Congress and President Trump gave Congress until March to find a fix. The president's congressional Republican and Democrats, expressed optimism for a deal just 10 days before the government shutdown deadline. Trump said he was willing to be flexible in finding an agreement as Democrats warned that the lives of hundreds of thousands of immigrants hung in the balance. I think my positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with, Trump said during a cabinet room meeting with a bipartisan group of nearly two dozen lawmakers, adding, I am very much reliant upon the people in this room. A group of journalists observed the meeting at an extraordinary length of time, about 55 minutes, that involved Trump. That involved Trump to be seeking input from Democrats and Republicans alike in a freewheeling exchange of the contentious issue. My mind is spinning from all the things that were said by the president and others in the room in the course of an hour and a half, said Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois. But the sense of urgency, the commitment to DACA, the fact that the president said to me privately, as well as publicly, I want to get this done, I'm going to take him at his word. The White House said after meeting the lawmakers had agreed to narrow the scope of negotiations to four areas: border security, family-based chain migration, the visa lottery, and the DACA policy. Democrats and Republicans are set to resume negotiations on Wednesday, but the exchange raised questions about how far Trump would push for his high-level, high-profile border wall. In describing the need for a wall, the president said it didn't need to be 2,000 miles of wall, and we don't need a wall where you have rivers and mountains and everything else to protect it. But we do need a wall for a fairly good portion. Trump has long made the case, saying even during his campaign, that his border wall wouldn't need to be continuous, thanks to the natural barriers in the landscape. And he has said he would be open to using fencing for some portions as well. The unusually public meeting laid bare a back and forth between the parties, more typically confined to closed-door negotiations. At one point, California Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat, asked Trump if he would support a, quote, clean DACA bill, now with a commitment to pursue a comprehensive immigration overhaul later. Trump responded, "I would like that. I would like it. I think a lot of people would like to see that, but I think we have to do DACA first." House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, interjected, saying, Mr. President, you need to be clear, though, that legislation involving the so-called Dreamers would need to include border security. The president said he would insist on construction of a border security wall as part of an agreement involving young immigrants. But he said Congress could then pursue a comprehensive immigration overhaul in a second phase of talks. House Republicans said they plan to soon introduce legislation to address border security and the young immigrants. Trump said it should be a bill of love. Okay, and now as we move off of the front page, let's go to Flick's Facts. Men far outnumber women when it comes to committing crimes in McLean County. But there is one crime that statistics show women commit more often. Can you name it? Ooh, Mr. Flick, you got us on this one. This is a good one. Men usually outnumber women when it comes to committing crimes, but in McLean County, there is one crime that statistics show women commit more often. What can it be? Do you have a top guess? Well, let's look at the answer. And the answer is, oh my goodness. In McLean County, according to state crime statistics, more than 60% of persons caught shoplifting are women. More and more women here also are being arrested for drug sales and or violations, show state statistics. So if you thought it was bank robbery or loitering in a public place, you would be wrong. The number one, more than 60% of people caught shoplifting are women, as opposed to other crimes statistics within the Bloomington-McLean County area. Interesting. Okay, and then now we will read our next article, and it is regarding Mayor Renner calls a meeting on an anchor plan. January 16th city council meeting that Alderman canceled on a 5-4 vote Monday night will happen anyway. Mayor Tari Renner on Tuesday replaced the canceled work session with a special meeting to bring together the council and the boards of Connect Transit and the Bloomington Public Library to discuss whether the Market Street parking garage or parking deck should be replaced with a structure housing a new library, bus train station, and public parking. The controversial idea proposed by as a catalyst by Downtown Economic Development was the centerpiece of a report approved by the Downtown Task Force on October 24th. The Library Board and most aldermen, however, favor expanding the library at its current location to 05 East Olive Street. Ward 9 Alderman Kim Bray said the agenda for the January 16th work session was set up without input from other aldermen and asked that it be struck from the meeting calendar. Bray was supported by Ward 2 Alderman David Sage and Ward 3 Alderman Michael Milawab of Ward 5. Alderman Joni Painter and Alderwoman Karen Schmidt over and over again, the council and the library board have stated that they want to expand where they are, said Painter, adding she does not plan to attend the special meeting. She noted the city has paid nearly $500,000 to demolish two nearby buildings to the to prepare land for the library expansion. Ward 8 Alderman Diana Howman supports Renner's call for a special meeting. We have an opportunity to potentially do something really progressive with our downtown by supporting by partnering with the library and Connect Transit, she said. This is an opportunity that probably will not come along again. Ward Alderman Scott Black said that while he is not convinced moving the library is the best idea, I am not opposed to publicly learning more about potential catalyst projects with other interested parties. Schmidt said she cannot attend because of a schedule conflict, but she doubts it would be a productive meeting. Sage said he won't attend because the city tends to move on and deal with other issues such as the budget. Aside from Painter and Hoffman, the other aldermen indicate they were taking a wait-and-see attitude or did not respond to a request for comment. Connect Transit Chairman Mike McCurdy favors a special meeting for the exchange of ideas and different viewpoints, expressing our interest and exploration possibilities for collaboration and ideation. Library Board President Alex Cardona suggests there has to be more discussion and collaboration, but more facts, details, and data need to be supported by experts about the proposed Catalyst project. At our current location, we've invested years of money and time in coming up with the last statement of a full concept, said Cardona. Whether it's a market street or any location, we don't have architects and engineers and city planners in place who could evaluate the what reflects as being a facade or possibly being a feasible connect for the transit department and or for the library or for any other Catalyst project. Whether someone makes such a decision to pay the money to complete those, that's up to them. The library board at this point is not interested in having to pay to start the whole process. That is the rub. And now for the Daily Digest. Food Bank opens Haiti division. Midwest Food Bank plans to open a new location in Haiti. The Haiti division, founded in December, is Midwest Food Bank's 9th division and 2nd international. The initial focus will be to provide or supplement Haitian faith-based church lunch programs. This will allow the schools to redirect limited money from food to increasing enrollments. The food bank will supply a food packet it produces, Tender Mercies, which contains rice, beans, textured vegetable protein, and chicken seasoning, and requires only boiling water. Several malnourished families, orphanages, and medical clinics also may receive the meals. Midwest Food Bank was founded in rural Bloomington in 2003. There are locations in Illinois, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, and Nairobi, Kenya. And here for a highlight in history, we find that this is the 10th day of 2018, and there are only 355 days left in the year. And that on this date in 1861, Florida became the third state to secede from the Union. In 1863, the London Underground had its beginnings as the Metropolitan, the world's first underground passenger railway open to the public with service between Paddington and Farringdon Street. And that concludes our reading for the first half of the pantograph. We'll take a short break and return with the second half of the pantograph for Wednesday, January the 10th, 2018. So please stay tuned.